Welcome to Central Study Hour at Sacramento Central Church, and we are excited because today is a special, special treat for our Sabbath day, as well as our friends who are joining us here. You're very, very welcome. I am glad that you made it safely, and friends, I wish you can also be joining us here in person, but the Lord and the Holy Spirit is joining us wherever you're listening and joining us as well. So our first hymn is a song that embodies the faith of a servant that will go wherever and whenever the Lord will send us. And that is, I'll go where you want me to go. We're going to be singing all three stanzas. I'll go where the Lord wants us to go. Please join us singing.
To go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain.
this was a wonderful song, and I hope you continue going to our main website, sexcentral.org, and request a hymn. And you can absolutely find where you will write your name and the number of the hymn and where you're writing us from. For our last hymn will be number 286, number 286, Wonderful Words of Life. This is a hymn that is owing us to go to heaven, who is seeking us to precisely mention the words of the wonderful Bible, the words of life. We're going to be singing all three stanzas, Wonderful Words of Life. Father, we indeed need those wonderful words of life. I ask that you touch each heart, each soul that is sitting here, as well as every brother and sister who will be listening today's lesson, that we will go back home renew with a mind of being consecrated for you. Help us to follow you and stay with each of our hearts in this morning. In Jesus I pray, amen. Today's lesson will be lesson number 13, Epigole, Knowing Jesus and His Word, by Dr. Ray Forth. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Yes, it's nice to see everyone in the house of the Lord. We've had some beautiful singing, and we're going to have some more. It's a full day today, and so it's nice to be in the house of the Lord today. What do you say? Amen, amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at lesson 13. I hope you have your quarterlies with you. And it is the epilogue, knowing Jesus and His Word, knowing Jesus and His Word. And so welcome to our friends online, and please join us as we have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege to be in your house today. It is a wonderful thing because the world has nothing to offer us, but you have everything to give us. And so as we study your word today, may we see Jesus in all his beauty, in all his splendor, and in all his blessings. And may we desire him for ourselves and share him with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, how many of you have enjoyed the book of John? It's been a wonderful study, and, unfortunately, it's coming to an end, but don't despair. You could do it on your own time. You can study the book of John also on your own time, because you have the Word of God always with you. You know, the book of John is generally divided into four sections. And you have the prologue, which starts from chapter 1 to chapter 18. And that is also subdivided into two sections. The book of signs, which is from chapter 1, verse 19, to chapter 12. Okay, that's called the book of signs because that area divides or talks about the seven signs and notable signs or miracles of Jesus. For example, the turning water into wine, healing of the nobleman's son, healing of the man by the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, the healing of the man born blind, and the resurrection of Lazarus. So that gives us those seven notable miracles of Jesus, and that subsection also gives us the people who witnessed the early signs of the divinity of Jesus, and then the second part, chapter 13 to chapter 20 talks about the book of glory, So you have the first a section, the epilogue, which is subdivided into two parts, and then you have the other part, which is talking about the book of glory, and chapter 21, which is talking about the epilogue. Chapter 21 actually closes it out, and that is the prologue. So we have the epilogue, the two other subdivisions, and then we have the prologue. And if you're interested now for the offer, the CD or the DVD, and you could call 916-457-6511, or you could also email CHS@saccentral.org, CSH@saccentral.org, if you want to request the study for today. And so as we look at the ending of the book of John, knowing Jesus and his word, when we know Jesus, we know his word, because he himself is the word made flesh. You know, John starts by telling us how Jesus Christ was God, yeah, and he was the word of God, and this word was made flesh. And so Jesus Christ came to us as the word of God, walking and breathing amongst us, like we are. He walked with us. He talked with us. And as we see him, we behold the very word of God in living flesh, walking and breathing among us. And as we've talked about the four divisions, he walked about doing good, performing miracles. Yes? And bringing joy and hope to the lives of people. You see, John, at the time when he was living in a time when people were doubting who Jesus is. Yes, there were a lot of little pockets of doubt and his divinity and be his sonship to God and being God himself. And John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring to the people then and now the truth about who Jesus is. And as we look now at the end of the book, the prologue, we see John now writing about this Jesus who came as the Word made flesh, having returned back to heaven. Now he is the written word. And as we read the written word, we don't just see words, we see Jesus. That we might believe in him and receive him into our hearts as we read about him. No wonder John said, these things are written over there in John chapter 20, verse 31, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So I pray that you have not spent the book these last several weeks reading words. I pray that you have seen Jesus in every page. And so, Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Peter says that the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit came upon him, he told us that even the prophets wrote about him. So no matter where you're reading in the Bible, look for Jesus. Whether you're reading the book of Numbers, or you're reading the book of Psalms, or you're reading the book of John, or wherever you find yourself in the Bible, look for Jesus because he's there. Can somebody say amen? Well, let's go on to Monday. Monday's lesson, by the way, we need to read the memory text, sorry. The memory text is taken from John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 39. John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 39. This is Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes, these people who were the church leaders. But they were rejecting him. They said they know the scriptures, but they were not looking for Jesus. When you read the scriptures, look for Jesus. So Jesus Christ said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. So as you read, unfortunately, they did not look for Jesus when they were reading. They were looking to satisfy their own preconceived notions. Don't do that when you read the Word of God. Look for Jesus every time you read the Word of God. So as we go on to Sunday, the meeting in Galilee, let's turn our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 21. And now the scripture is verses 1 to 19, we would read verses 15 to 17. And of course, you in your own time could read the entire chapter. Let's look at verses 15 to 17 of John's Gospel. And this is where Jesus restores Peter. And the Bible tells us that in verse 15 of chapter 21, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, if I could just get my page here, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep, my lamb, sorry. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him again a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. You see, Simon was in a difficult place by this time. You see, Jesus had died. He had denied Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ died. And he was in a very, very bad place. Christ had come to them, but he wasn't sure how his position was with Jesus. Even though Jesus Christ had sent Mary Magdalene to go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm coming to see them, he still had doubts in his mind. Jesus Christ, of necessity, wanted to restore Peter to let him know that he still loved him. But you see, Jesus Christ always wants to, he uses a very fine scalpel. as a master surgeon to do a work upon our hearts so that he carefully and gently takes away the heart of stone and puts in the heart of flesh that is tender and responsive to his word and to his moving. And so Jesus gently walked with Peter. Peter, do you love me? They had gone fishing. He was discouraged. Jesus Christ did a miracle as they went fishing. They had fished all night, nothing caught. And then here comes this stranger and tells them to cast the net on this side. And they caught so much that they could not even bring the net back in. Jesus Christ wanted them to know that he still is the same Jesus who was with them for 3.5 years. And so Peter recognized that it is his master. And he went, swam over to meet him. Jesus Christ said to him, do you love me more than these things? You see, people have, you know, there are various schools of thought, whether Jesus Christ used the word agapeo or phileo, or, you know, we believe that Jesus Christ used both, right? He wanted to let Peter understand that self-confidence cannot cut it for the kingdom of heaven. Depending upon myself is not going to work, because it is only as the Holy Spirit pours the love of God upon our hearts that we are able to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. In our own strength, we are incapable of loving anybody other than ourselves. As a matter of fact, even when we love our children, there is the element of self that causes us to love our children. It is the Holy Spirit that purifies and cleanses that kind of self-centered love to make it pure and holy. And so Jesus Christ must do this work with Peter. So he asked him, do you love me more than these? Do you agapeo me? And he realizes that Peter was in a place where he recognizes, and Jesus Christ is trying to help Peter to appreciate his great need of him. And so Peter recognizes, he says, yes, Lord, I know, I love you. But the love that Peter was having for Jesus, he recognized that he does not have the love he thought he had for Jesus. So he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus Christ understood what Peter really meant. He knew it deep down in his heart. He wanted to love Jesus, but he did not have it within him, the ability to love Jesus. It must be given to him. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit in John chapter 5, I believe verse 5, pours the love of God upon our hearts. And so Peter responded, Jesus Christ, yes, I love you. And Jesus Christ walked with him. And he asked him subsequently, the third time, do you love me the type of love that you said that you have? Do you love me with that? Peter was grieved. Not grieved because he asked him the third time, but grieved because he recognized how his great need. You know, I remember Paul said in Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Peter recognized his great need, and Jesus Christ was willing to let him see it. You see, Jesus Christ doesn't make us feel guilty so that he could rub it in. That's the work of the devil. Jesus Christ makes us see our inadequacy, our insufficiency, and how much we need him. And quickly, the Holy Spirit is given to convict the heart of sin, that it will convict it of righteousness. He doesn't just make you feel guilty and let you go do something bad to yourself or feel miserable. No. As soon as you realize your guilt, you say, I need help. And the Holy Spirit comes and gives you what you need, the righteousness of Christ. And so, my friends, you know, the thing that Christ had not desired and rejected in him is what he was trying to tell him. I have not rejected you, Peter. I have not forsaken you. so you could accept me and receive me as your total help, as your all in all. Because I have not rejected you, don't feel rejected. Don't reject me. If you have me in your heart, you would always, always, always have all that you need. Because Christ is our all sufficiency. You know, Ellen White writes in the book Christ Object Lessons. She says, the nearer we come to Jesus, and the more clearly we discern the purity of his character, the more clearly we shall discern the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the less we shall feel like exalting ourselves. Those whom heaven recognizes as holy ones are the last to parade their own goodness. Hello. The Apostle Peter became a faithful minister of Christ, and he was greatly honored with divine light and power. He had an active part in the upholding and upbuilding of Christ's church. But Peter never forgot the tearful experience of his humiliation. His sins were forgiven, yet he knew that he had the weakness of character which had caused him to fall only into the grace of Christ that could avail him much. He found in him nothing in which to glory. All his confidence, all his hope was in Christ. God forbid that he should glory moving forward, save in the cross of Christ, his Lord. And so as we move on to Monday, we are told of keeping our eyes on Jesus. You see, many times we tend to look at others, yes? And many times we compare ourselves with others. Do I reach that level? You know, we measure ourselves with others. Sometimes we say that, have they attained to our level? We are constantly looking at ourselves and others. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Every other place, you're going to either feel better than others, or you're going to feel less than others. But when you look to Jesus, you recognize how much he loves you and how much he has given you in him. And so John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 20 and 21, 20 to 22 tells us, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, who also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. If we could get that into our skulls, our hard skulls, you follow me, I think we will all do well. Because Peter was focusing on the one whom Jesus loved, which we know is John. He loved all of them, yes, but John was the one that was clearly responding more than any of them. That, you know, in fact, the book tells us that. That's why it talks about love so much, because Christ was so good to them. And he's looking at the other guy, at John, and he's saying, well, you tell me to follow you. Well, how about this guy? What about him? I mean, what is that to you? Stop looking at other people. We are constantly looking at other people. Do I measure up? Do they measure up? Many times we are so Pharisaical in our thinking that we look at the others as the publican and we look at ourselves as, you know, we are in good step with God. In fact, we inform God of all our righteousness. Jesus Christ said to him, take your eyes off the man and look at me and follow me. Because All you need is me. It doesn't matter if, and people have said this is a prophecy. This is not a prophecy. Jesus Christ was just making a statement. If I choose to, for this man to be alive till I come, what is that to you? And so we need to let Christ be Christ, let God be God, and let us do the things that he has called us to do, which is to follow him. The will of God and the work of God is that we would believe in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's it. Period. Full stop. We do not need to keep our eyes on others. John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 23 to 25. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, what about this man? Verse 23. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple whom would not die. Yet Jesus Christ did not say to him that he would not die. But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is a disciple who testifies these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So again, Jesus Christ is not making a prophecy here, as some have asserted. Jesus Christ is simply making a point. You just keep your eyes stayed on me. The Bible is not just any other book, my friends. The Bible is the written word of God. And the Bible is written so that we would know who Jesus is. Many have tried to destroy this book. People have tried to burn this book, have tried to destroy it. You remember Voltaire? Yes? He tried to destroy this book. In fact, he just said that this book would not exist in so many years. There's this Roman Emperor, Diocletus, tried to destroy the book and tried to destroy Christians. And then there was this other guy, Frederick the Infidel, who boasted that in 100 years, Christianity will cease to exist and the book will be gone, the Bible will be gone. The Bible is not only still here, yes, but he has long ago died and in the grave where he wanted to put the Bible. So we see that this word of God is not simply any type of book that you just read in words. You're reading about the man, Jesus, who says, follow me. And so if you are, because many times people say, well, I don't need to read the book. I just follow him. Whatever, there's this postmodern type of thing now where we feel like we could find a way by ourselves. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. This is the only map that tells us how to get to heaven. Because it's about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So I pray that as you consider these themes, don't put the Bible to the side. Take it off the shelf. Dust it off. And begin to spend time in the Word, that you may come to know Jesus. Because that's all he wants from you, to know him. Not just to know him in the sense of I know about him, but to know him, whom to know passes understanding. And then as we go on to Tuesday, light and darkness. There are many scripture readings here. We're not going to look at every single one of them, but we will take a look at a few. Let's look at John chapter 1. And let's read verses 4 and 5. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I pray that you have taken the time before today to look at all this scripture. Verses 4 and 5 tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness does not reign where light reigns. If you flip on this switch, which you have now, before we switched on this switch this morning, it was dark in here. But the moment you flip on the switch, it is light. And where there is light, there can be no darkness. But if there is no light, there is altogether darkness. And how great is that darkness? And so if you say that you are a Christian and you are not spending time in this book, and your only Christianity and your only Bible is when you come to church, oh, friends, be careful, because you walk in darkness. You need to read this book and get to know Jesus Christ really for who he is. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. This is now Jesus Christ speaking to Nicodemus. Chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. And the word of God says, and this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates what? The light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen that they have been done in God. If you don't appreciate light, which is Christ, and who is Christ, you dwell in darkness. Nicodemus had this idea that he dwelt in light. But we understand that Jesus Christ was clear that you need light, because heretofore you had dwelt in darkness. I am the light of the world, he says. There is no other light. You have read the scriptures, and you think in the words you have eternal life. But the words testify of me. It is me you need to meet. And Nicodemus, by God's grace, over time, came to know Jesus. The I am. He is the light. I am the light. And we know that the book of John is splattered with the I am statements of Christ. Here's what Ellen White says in Christ Object Lessons, page 415. It is the darkness, the what? The darkness of misapprehension of God that is enshrouding the world. Men are losing their knowledge of his character. It has been misunderstood and misinterpreted. At this time, a message from God is to be proclaimed, a message illuminating in its influence and saving in its power. The message of light is the message of salvation. It is the three angels' message. It is the everlasting gospel. It is Christ and his righteousness. We need to proclaim it. It is not about everything else we're talking about. Everything we're talking about these days has nothing to do with the light. We are so caught up in politics as a church. We are so caught up in all this worldly gain. We are caught up in amassing wealth for ourselves and building an empire on this earth. And that is darkness. The man that Christ told the parable of the man who amassed all kinds of wealth for himself to the point where he ran out of space and he had to break down and build up a new barn. At least he thought in his mind. And Christ says, you are dwelling in darkness. Today, tonight, your soul shall be required of you. So she continues. His character is to be made known. Into the darkness of the world is to be shed the light of his glory, the light of his goodness, mercy, and truth. Can anybody agree with me that we dwell in darkness right now in this world? Can anybody agree with me that America is running headlong into total darkness? If you are sitting here today and hearing my voice today, and you believe this gospel, Christ has called you to be a light in this world of darkness. Not to get caught up in all the foolishness, but to pervade and penetrate the world with light. Because where there's light, darkness cannot overcome it. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and his life is his light, and his light is his life. And if Christ dwells in you, you cannot but show light. How does a man say, I love Christ, and he dwells in me, and hates his brother? That is darkness. He's a liar. But when the man says he loves Christ, he would love his brother. He would love his sister. No matter what they look like, what they sound like, where they live, where they do not live. But what do we see? We see darkness. And we see ourselves getting caught up with that. I pray God we will come to the light. Now let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Verses 42 and 44. 42 to 44. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 42 to 44. And the Word of God says, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. This is interesting. This is interesting. Jesus Christ is saying here, you are not able to listen to my word. But they are right there listening to his word. So what he is saying in effect is, you are here, you have ears to hear, but you do not hear. In fact, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. We are hearing what we want to hear. In Ezekiel, it says, they hear your voice, they hear your words, but they would not do them. Your voice has become unto them as a sweet song. Ah, la, 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 la. Jesus Christ is saying to these guys, you are not listening to me. You're not listening. You say you're hearing, but you're not listening. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. When we speak from our own resources, because sometimes we take the Bible, we take Spirit of Prophecy, and we take it out of context, and we begin to pound people over the head, we speak of our own resources, and there is no light there. We dwell in darkness, and we make others to dwell in darkness. And God would hold this against us. But if we dwell in the light, as he is in the light, our friends, people are always attracted to darkness. I got you. People are always attracted to light. Because no man wants to be walking around groping in darkness. Now, some people, when I say no man, that's just maybe a little bit too much. Because some people really love darkness. Christ said it. So some people just enjoy darkness. Because sin feels pleasurable for a time. But would you consider with me Moses? Who did not think the pleasures of this world and all the fancies were to be desired? But he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God because he understood the difference between light and darkness. Light stays light for as long as light lasts. Darkness stays darkness, even though it may look like light, but it is darkness, and it stays darkness forever. Let us dwell in the light, like Moses chose to dwell in the light, and as Christ is in the light. You see, faith is this thing where we look at ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the lens of the Holy Spirit, and we see nothingness. And then, through the Holy Spirit's power, we are turned around to look at Jesus. And the contrast is mind-boggling. And we throw ourselves into the arms of light. And you say, take my life, Lord, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You see, this is faith. Faith is not some complex thing. It is not complicated. It is throwing myself into the arms of Christ where there is light and walking in the light. It is depending upon God to make me what he wants me to be, which is light. For I cannot do this thing myself. My righteousness is filthy rags. It is as filth could be, and you could never make it clean on your own. In fact, Christ does not want to make, you know, Christ says that the heart itself is darkness, and the heart is at enmity. Understand what Christ said. It is not the things I think about that are darkness. It is not my thoughts, no. The heart itself is at enmity with God. It's darkness. So you have to have a heart transplant. You don't have, this is not a program where a self-help program where you just learn to do good things. No. Christ has to literally take out the heart of stone, of darkness, and input into it, into you, his mind, his heart, that you will walk in light. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my way. Hide the word of God in your heart. It is light. Let's move on. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. And you could read the scripture on your own. Here we see where we are told where this nobleman, his son was sick, right? His son was sick, and he came to Jesus for Jesus Christ to heal his son. But let's look at a couple of verses there. You know, let's just take a little time and look at a couple of verses there. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. So here is what Jesus Christ says in verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. So this man comes with a preset mindset that I will only believe Jesus if he heals my son. How many times do we come to Jesus like that? How many times do we come with our preconceived notions and preconceived ideas, and we will never let them go, no matter what type of light we see? Because we say, well, I feel my feelings. I feel like if he does this for me, then I will do that for him. No, you cannot do anything for Jesus. Nor could I. He has done everything for me. All he asked for is I give him my heart. And even when I give him my heart, I cannot take the glory for that. Because it is he that moves upon me. It is he who gives me repentance. I could boast nowhere. I could glory nowhere save in the cross of Christ my Lord. That's it. I can't boast of my own goodness. So this man comes to Jesus Christ, and Christ is so patient with us. He loves us so much. He is so kind. He is so compassionate. And he says to him, go your way. Your son lives. And the man went his way. And as he went his way, in fact, he went the long way, to be honest with you. But his servant found him on the way. And he says, your son lives. And he says, what time did he say? And he realized it was the same hour. Or better still, because many times we think it was the same hour, like between 1 and 2. No. The moment Christ said the word itself, we're talking about Christ, not Christ and his word, it is Christ the word. Because he is the word. And so the moment the word comes out of his mouth, the word is imbued with power and impregnated with the sources to bring the healing to the young man. Christ does not have to make his word good. His word is good. Because he comes as the word himself. And so when he speaks the word, the thing is. The thing was not there before. But then he speaks the word, and then the thing is. The reason why Christ cannot lie and why God cannot lie is not simply because he is God, but the moment he speaks the word is. You may not see it right away, but it is. In the fullness of time, you will see it. Believe the word of faith, which is out of his mouth. Believe it. And so Christ says here, the lesson says in the second paragraph, human views must be subjected and subservient to the word of God and not the other way around. How many of you have heard people say, they try to command the Holy Spirit? I'm sure you've heard about that before. People try to tell the Holy Spirit what to do, where to go, how to behave, how to not behave. I'm like, what? The Holy Spirit is not a thing or some figment of our imagination. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity, equal with the Father and the Son. And he is the one who is given to us as the Paracletos, as the other, in place of Christ who has gone back to heaven. He is given to rebuke the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He is the one who controls the life and the dictates of the heart, if you let him. But he is not going to share the heart with you. It's either you give up your heart completely to him, and he gives you a new heart, and he reigns supreme, or it's all or nothing, or you keep it for yourself. Christ says in John chapter 5, if you abide in me and my word, you are my disciples indeed. And I'm reading the third paragraph. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I shall say and what I shall speak. So Christ is saying here that the very word itself that you have rejected, that you have played around with, that you have dilly-dallied with, the very word itself will judge you. Christ will not have to say a word, because his word is already said. And you have taken it and have put it in the trash. Or you have taken bits and pieces of it, like this is some type of buffet or a la carte. I take this one here, I don't like this one, I take this one. No. It is the all or nothing. It is a love letter. And how many of you who are married or have somebody in your life, if somebody writes you, say your child or your spouse goes away somewhere for a period of time, and they send you a letter, do you just read part of the letter? No. You're so happy to receive the letter. If you are in love, you're so happy to receive the letter. You just want to read the whole thing. And some people store these things for years. They have a little box and they store up the letters. And then when their loved one comes home, maybe in the military, oh my goodness, faith has become sight. But until then, read the love letter. Until then, get in touch day by day. Spend a moment, an hour, a thoughtful hour at the foot of the cross, contemplating the sins, especially the closing sins. If you spend a thoughtful hour at the foot of the cross each day in his word, my friends, I tell you, you will be a mighty force for good. You will be light shining in a dark world. You will be an epistle read by all men. Spend time in the word of God. Don't think like the man who came thinking theology from below. Think from above, where Christ lives. Think from above, where Christ lives. And so, as we wind this thing down, John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 32. John's Gospel, 12, verse 32. The Word of God tells us. And this is Jesus Christ now speaking. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. How many men? All men. I will draw. Jesus Christ is the great magnet that draws all men unto himself. If you speak of Jesus, he will draw. And so I pray that as you consider Christ, let him live in your lives. Having loved his own, he loved them to the very end. He loves you and he wants you to be with him. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again and receive you unto myself. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be with him. And the only way you could be with him is if you were light and you're drawing others to him. So be that light. Abide in him, for without him you can do nothing. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. He magnifies his word above his own name. He's coming again for you. Believe it. Trust it. Hold on to it for dear life. And Christ will be your victory. Amen. And so as we close, we are still going to give you the offer, the information for the CD and the DVD. And you would call the number 916-457-6511. Or you could write to CSH at sarkcentral.org. Okay? Now let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the beautiful, beautiful word you've given us today. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And the word is Christ himself. And Christ has said, follow me. Help us, dear God, to take our eyes off the things of this world. Help us to take our eyes off others. Our only concern with others is that they see the light of God in us and that they are drawn to Jesus, who draws all men unto himself. Help them to come to know you as we come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us now, we pray, and may the light that came to light up this world, shine in us and shine through us during this holiday season, that men may see his good works in us and glorify him who art in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.